Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. You're on the air with Sabrina Williams and our special guest, Michelle Roberts. She's going to talk about her book today, My Body is Not Your Playground. Good morning, Cheryl. How are you? Cheryl, are you there? I think we locked Cheryl out. Cheryl, are you there? Cheryl?
Hello?
Okay, there you go. We're on the air with Conversations with the Diva, Sabrina Williams, and we have our special guest, Cheryl Roberts, My Body is Not Your Playground. We're going to have our intro, and then, Cheryl, we're going to begin talking to you. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Hold on there, dear.
Okay.
Welcome to Conversations with the Diva. Never give up, never give in, always look up, God has a plan. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Now, here's your host, Sabrina Williams.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. It is a beautiful Thursday morning here in my kitchen in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I just want to say good morning, praise God. How are you guys today? Remembering Jeremiah 29:11, that the God has nothing but wants to prosper you, not harm you. You do need a relationship with him, but you know what? God is good, and we can come to him at any time. Cheryl, what is going on this morning, young lady?
Oh, nothing here at work, and, you know, just preparing myself for today. But all is well, all is well. Good to be alive.
Well, I'm going to let you guys know a little bit about Cheryl. Cheryl actually has, this is her second book, right, Cheryl?
Yes.
And she was on the air and talking before with her first book. And remind me the name of the first book.
From Victim to Vessel, Pushing Through Pain to Walk in Purpose.
And all of these books are based on one of the topics that America does not talk about, which is child sexual abuse. And I just wanted, I brought up some statistics, and just so that you guys know, this is something that does happen. It's not, it's silent. A lot of times victims are made to think it's their fault, but it's not. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Child Bureau reported child maltreatment 2010 found that 9.2 of victimized children were sexually assaulted. Studies by David Finkelhaar, director of the Crimes Against Children's Research, show that 1 in 5 girls and 1 in 20 boys are victims of sexual abuse. Additionally, self-reported studies that 20% of adult females to 5 to 10% of adult males recall a childhood of sexual assault or sexual abuse incident. During 1 year period in the United States, 16% of youth ages 14 to 17 have been sexually victimized. Over the course of their lifetime, 28% of U.S. age 14 to 17 have been sexually victimized. Children are most vulnerable between the ages of 7 and 13. Were you aware of some of those statistics, Cheryl?
Yes, yes. Very aware. And it seems like it grows yearly.
It does. And, you know, the sad thing is we always sometimes, I know a lot of the kids that I work with and kids I've worked with in the past, even myself, I had acting out behaviors that people associated with being a typical teen. But when you don't know how to voice that you're being sexually abused, it comes
right
out the other way. So that's something that – that people need to be aware of. We want to label a teenager or a child as antisocial, anti-aggressive. Sometimes people want to diagnose them with bipolar. I'd be bipolar if somebody was abusing me, but it's not bipolar. They have
right
no other way to talk. So Cheryl,
right,
tell us a little bit about your My Body is Not Your Playground, but let's take it back a little bit because this coincides with your first book and you writing this book. So tell us that story a little bit.
Well, the first book, From Victim to Vessel, is basically my story of how I overcame childhood sexual abuse, what I went through, and what I had to do to get me to the place where I am now. And this new book, My Body is Not Your Playground, it's it's about a little girl named Zoe, who, you know, was loved by her family, and until one day one of her brothers took her innocence. And but the good thing is she found her voice to tell her mom, and they did what was necessary to get her help and get her through what happened to her. And the book basically is, you know, for like the parent to read to their child, and also it has tips of how to talk to your child about that type of situation, what you should do in that situation. So it's kind of for the parent and the child, but it's a story where the child can is able to read and understand what's going on.
Okay. And it's really, and you touched on something, Cheryl, there is like, how do parents, if, you know, I know for me, my parents, I wet the bed a lot. And a lot of people don't realize that's one of, it's not indicative, but that high, that is one of the highly recognized signs when a child is continually wetting the bed. And there's no medical reason for it.
Right, right. I did the same thing.
You did.
And the nightmares and stuff. But a lot of parents, you know, they just, I guess they don't really understand. They just think they're going through, I guess, you know, different stages. So they don't recognize it, or some of them recognize the signs, but don't know how to deal with it. So they just kind of, you know, go blind to it. And so, and I've learned that a lot of parents who have gone through the same thing as a child but hasn't dealt with it has no idea how to deal with their child because they never dealt with their own issues. So, you know, they're going to kind of not even say, you know, hey, I know what's going on, but I just don't know how to do it because, you know,
they're
the same way.
Right.
Right,
and sometimes the only way to break a victim cycle is to talk about it. But if you don't, but if you talk about it as a parent, you help your child, then you're of course going to have to deal with your own. And sometimes that is very painful, debilitating for some people, because there's some people who literally, it's not an excuse, but because of the extreme abuse, of sexual abuse, of verbal, of physical abuse, some people just cannot even get out of bed. It really, it really is a crippling effect on not only the person, but on society. And now, some of the things I know that I watch out for when when I'm talking to kids in my job, or as I've worked with kids, or recognizing as I came to an adult, because I didn't recognize any of my, anything that really happened to me until I was probably in my 20s or 30s. And mine came out very extreme and in violence, as where I was walking around as an adult at 26 beating up people, was able to hold a job, and God was able to bless me and get me out of those situations, never ended up with getting in trouble, literally. That's when I realized I needed to get some help, and I ended up, for a while, I went to a mental hospital, and I will admit that, because it's okay to admit that you need help, and sometimes life is very overwhelming for people. And I know as African Americans, we struggle with wanting to admit that we need help in mental health. And it's not saying you're a bad person, but when things happen to you, your body manifests that in different ways, whether it's depression or things like that.
Right, right, right. And I went through the same thing, you know, just emotionally and mentally unstable. And I was on, you know, medications for a few years, you know, trying to, I guess, balance what was going on internally. So it was like, you know, going to counseling. And, you know, at first, you know, it was hard to go to counseling because, you know, I felt like, you know, Black people don't go to counseling. I mean, but that was my mentality. And that's how I grew up. You don't talk about things like that. So when my friend suggested I go to counseling, I was like, you know, you're crazy. But, you know, once I tried it and it began to help, I was like, okay, this is a good idea. And so, you know, I recommend for people to go to counseling because, I mean, it's a great tool for you to get past what you're going through.
No, it is. And I'm going to, you know what the funny thing is? God, we recognize God as our counselor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And say in the Bible that God is our counselor, he's our refuge. But we sometimes forget as people and humans of any races that God was the one who orchestrated years ago in the Roman, Egyptian times and way back before then, herbal medicines, and then he helped bring people forth to create medicines that help for whether it's cancer, this or that. Of course, everybody will say, you know, that the cancer medicines, people have money. It's not that. The fact that God put people there in our way, he has put on earth counselors, teachers, people to help us get through things, but we don't want to use those. We'll say, okay, praise God for them, but we can't go to them because, I know that for me sometimes people say, but when I'm depressed, you know, you just have to pray about it. Yes, you can pray about it, and it helps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes you have to go and get the medication to help yourself because, you know what, depression is painful. You can relate to this. It hurts.
Yes.
And it's debilitating. And sometimes all you can do is just get up, get your breakfast, if that, and go to work if that. And, you know, for me, I'm surprised even today at 50 that I'm still working despite all the things I've went through. But I know that's been God. But I've also realized that we sometimes put so much on ourselves to struggle when we don't have to.
Right, right. And, I mean, just sometimes, you know, it was hard just functioning, you know, day to day because, it's so overwhelming, the mental state that you're in, and it becomes physical. I mean, you can actually feel it in your body when you're depressed and just weighed down. And so, but you know, I'm grateful to God that, you know, I had people around me that, you know, pushed me and didn't let me give up, because there were many times I wanted to end it. It was like, I don't want to feel anything. You know, I just didn't want to do anything. So it was like, you know, I thank God that he had people around me that prayed and cared for me back to where I needed to be, because if it was up to me, I would have just said, forget it.
And, you know, and absolutely. And I think the thing with sexual abuse is that we want to sometimes say, oh, it's the way a girl dresses, or it's this or that.
Right.
Or a boy, or the boy, they were doing something. It's not that. I don't think we realize that it's such a serious and growing problem, people making and downloading sexual images of children on the internet, to view kids, and I don't think people realize that that's abuse. That's participating in child abuse. That was not their choice. That was something that they might ask for. You're stealing their innocence, you know, as you're taking it. The title of your book says, it's not a playground, but that's what the child is taught. It's like a game. It's like a secret. Let's keep the secret. Let's play the game.
Yeah.
But it's not. And I know for me, I think it's, and I don't know if you could relate to this, when I was a child, it was even harder for me because we had such a big family, and every weekend my mom would go to relatives' house, to those relatives who were, you know, two or three of them were abusing me, but I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to make waves. And I remember one saying something to my mom, and it was sort of kind of blown off. And so I think that we have to really stop. And these are some of the things that we need to watch out for in our children: acting out in appropriate sexual ways with toys or objects, nightmares, sleeping problems, becoming withdrawn or clingy. I used to always go in my room, and I could bet a clock on it. I was always in the room, and I would be asleep by right after dinner at 7 o'clock. Not normal for a kid at 14 years old.
Right.
Becoming unusually secretive, sudden unexplained personality change, mood swings, seeming insecure, regressing to younger behavior, bedwetting, a really unaccountable fear of a particular place or people. I know I would always have to scream when we had to go to certain relatives' house. My mom was just like, you just are being antisocial, you're being a diva. No, it wasn't.
Right.
Outbursts, anger, changes in eating habits. And I don't think, and that's a big one, because I remember that what I would do as a kid, I started to make myself, because at the time I was a really small kid. My family has a lot of Indian, Cherokee Indian. I had really long hair. I would eat a lot. Ding-dongs were one of the things I eat a lot. As I got older, I would eat, and then I would become, I would do bulimia, and I would eat bulimia back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, nobody even recognized it. They always thought I had it. I needed to lose weight. Now, as I've come to an adult today, and I was telling my trainer yesterday, because I actually could see myself thin. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm getting taller. He's like, you're not getting taller, you're getting thinner. And it's the first time that I said, oh, my God, I could actually see it. And that's funny because before I would never see it. But my trainer, and which is my best friend, he has protected me and helped me walk me through it as an adult at 50 to recognize, you know, okay, I'll tell him, I can't deal with this. Why can't you deal with it? And I would bring up a memory, and then I would go back to counseling. So as adults, we have to recognize that sometimes if people have weight loss problems, I'm not making excuses, some, especially for women, it's the image right. that you don't want to, you keep bigger so nobody will bother you. You know, but right. that became dangerous even as I got an adult because men prey on that. When I got out of my marriage for 18 years of being a domestic violence victim, I remember I was hit, kept me heavy because he didn't want people to look at me. So as I started to lose weight, and even though I was still heavy, I would attract certain men that were abusive. So it's still
right.
becoming a cycle. Until recently, I'm like, no, let's deal with this. This is not okay. And now it's really changing. And I now, you know, you talk self-harm was another thing. I wasn't a cutter or a burner, but I have to even watch today. I'm a high adrenaline junkie, and that mm-hmm. can be dangerous. And people don't
yeah.
realize that. Can you relate to any of those?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I went through the cutting stage, you know, and tried several times to commit suicide. And from those attempts, that's when I started cutting because the first time I tried to commit suicide, I took an overdose of pills.
Okay.
That didn't work. So then I was trying to cut my wrist. And then it was like, I liked that feeling of seeing the blood.
Okay.
That's when the cutting began because it was like a emotional release. It was like I forgot the actual pain I was going through, and when I saw the blood just coming out of my wrist, it was like, yeah, it was like a release. It may sound crazy, but, you know.
No, it is. No, it's not crazy. It is. It's actually out of control, but actually the pain was gone for a second.
Right, for a second. And it was like, you know, it was like, so I just kept doing it. And then I started drinking, you know, heavily and just drinking to the point where I would just pass out.
Wow.
And it was like, but when I woke up, you know, I'm still hurting. I'm still, you know, just damaged. And so I began to sleep around, you know,
right.
not really wanting the sex, but it was just something to make me numb. I didn't like sex,
right.
but it was just something to do because it felt like it's something that I had to do. But
yep.
I hated it. But, you know, it was like if I didn't do it, I felt like I didn't belong or I didn't feel loved or wanted. So I just kept doing it just for those things. But the sex, I hated it because it was so tainted because it was taken from me. So it was like I hated sex. So I was like, but why am I still doing it? But it was just something it felt like I needed to do because I needed to feel wanted and loved. But,
yeah,
you know,
I know. And I think that that's one of the things that we, because I hear that a lot when you can finally nail some of the teenagers down that have had sex early or into drugs, substance abuse, or drinking. It's one of those things, I just wanted to feel love because the love, not only was the love taken from the abuser, it was actually lost with the family because they considered that they weren't loved from their family until the
right.
family together and realize, hey, you know what, that's not true. We have to now start over. You have to recreate your family. Once you recognize a child or an adult that admits as a child that they were abused sexually, or actually even to gay, we can take that to now to some of the sex trafficking that's going on where women are taken and being victims
right.
of sex and sex abuse ring. So you're recreating a whole life for this person that never will be. You can't ever change that, but you can only bring them forward in love. And one of the things
right.
I want to make sure we know is some examples. When your child comes to you, and I've had this I've had parents say, "Well, my child said that their dad or some mom let them watch pornography at the house, and should that's a sign."
Yes,
because it maybe it's not that person. Maybe that person hasn't touched him. Okay, but that's one of a major sign. And encouraging a child to watch or hear sexual acts, inappropriately watching a child undress or use the bathroom. I've had children say, "You know, mom," or they tell a counselor, "You know, this person is always at the bathroom door." Signs.
Yeah.
There,
yeah.
Our children are trying to tell us. They can't get the words out. Trying to tell us these are some of the things, like I said, showing pornography or deliberately exposing adults to children to adults' genitals. Those are some of the things that you need to. There's books that are in the bookstore. Cheryl's book, "My Body Is Not Your Playground," is an excellent way of sharing with your child and finding out. And even though your child may not be a victim, this book is an excellent way for parents to help prevent your child or other children from being victims. That would be
right.
my personal opinion. Would you say
yes.
so, Cheryl?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to say this for parents. You know, when your child or a child comes to you about that type of situation, you know, don't ignore the problem. You know, do something about it. Let them know, you know, hey, we're going to talk about this. We're going to take action. But just don't ignore it. Because a lot of times, you know, when a child goes to their parent and tells them that, you know, someone touched them, and then the parent, it makes them feel like it's their fault or they get in trouble, you know, that's that one person that they thought they could trust. And now they may not say anything ever again. So when a child comes to you, you know, talk about it. Believe them, support them, show them that, you know, they are still loved and that it's not their fault, and do something about it. Take action. Don't just, you know, say, you know, child, don't say that kind of stuff, you know, and just kind of brush it off. Don't do that. Even if it turns out not to be true in the beginning, always believe that child, because you never know.
And, you know, and Cheryl, to go on top of that, what I would also say for parents, let them express themselves and
mm-hmm.
let them
yeah.
talk, hug them, don't judge them, and immediately you need to call Child Protective Services. Unfortunately, most of the time these are not made-up stories. Maybe there may be a 1%, but you're not an investigator. So you let your child
right.
know, okay, this is
right.
the next step. We are going to call these people. They're specialized in handling this. They're going to come
right.
talk to you. They're going to get the information. And unfortunately for the person, if it's not true, God bless you. But if it is true, we just saved another victim. And I know people say, well, if it was my neighbor or my friend, I don't want to ruin their reputation. Okay, your child is ruined.
Right.
Yeah. They think that they're ruined. They're not ruined in that sense, but their innocence has been ruined and taken from them. Who's more concerned? I know I've had people say, well, it's this or that, or they're this or that in the community. Who cares?
Right.
Who cares?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, who gives a rat's butt about that? This is your child, and you never want
right.
your child to feel like you put somebody else forward first because of their name or who they are, or, you know, or give you hush money. And those things do happen.
Right.
So
the sad truth about it, it happens more often than you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's sad. It's so
no,
sad. The parent
really,
would take the size of the adult and just leave the child just hurting by themselves, and it's like, do you know how much that affects the child? I mean, mentally, physically, emotionally, and this child
and
now has
trust. The trust it has taken me, and I have to be honest, it has taken me the last 3 years. I'm 50 with my trainer and my best friend Danny Bongiorno, for him to build, and Mark Roscoe is a really good friend of mine, to build trust in me that when I tell them something that they believe me and they have walked me through this, because it's very disheartening when people would brush it off, oh, you know, you're a little bit high maintenance or this. It's, no, it had nothing to do with that. It had to do with, I have never been able to trust that people would do right by me, because when I did finally come clean, it just was a joke, basically.
It hurts. It crushes.
That's hurt. Cheryl, I know you're at work, and I know that you have to get back to work, but I'd love to have you come back on in a couple of weeks to really go over your first book, re-talk about My Body's Not Your Playground, and also the next time you come on, a lot of people don't know this about Cheryl, but, you know, when you got it, you got it. Cheryl is not only beautiful, smart, you just see my post I posted about her, she is a fashion diva, okay? And she can design. We are going to have a show. Just Cheryl's going to review her books, and then we're going to have a show with just Cheryl about her clothes and how she makes these. She's Cheryl has the, what I call, is that retro Cheryl, or what is that? No, that's
vintage.
Vintage. The clothes with the long skirts. And people, when I say this, Cheryl, I love your clothesline. I think because as a previous victim of, I like looking nice, but I'm all still afraid to show parts of my body.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the vintage, because vintage still calls sexy, but it also shows elegance. And that's the two that I
Absolutely.
Think you brought together so gracefully.
Absolutely. Yes. Because, I mean, you know, I'm a church girl. I'm a Christian, and so I want to represent my body and my God well. So, you know, I want to dress, you know, and keep myself covered, but also want to be classy and elegant and represent the kingdom well. So, you know, I try to put those two things together because, you know, hey.
I think it's fantastic. Oh, I think you represent well. If it was up to me, and I think that your clothesline would be in heaven. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, you're making me blush.
If they have to pick a clothesline, sorry, Oscar De La Renta, you kind of move over. You got risque clothes. Cheryl's clothes are elegant and graceful, and we could all sing in the choir. We would look lovely. That's just my personal opinion. So, and they're so beautiful, and they just, oh, my gosh. It's just lovely. Now, I thank you for taking your time. Today we were talking with Cheryl Roberts with her new book, My Body Is Not Your Playground, for children so they know that they're not at fault with sexual abuse, how for parents to talk to their children. Remember, if your child comes to you and they relate that they've been a victim, love them, hug them, don't judge them. Call Child Protective Services and get your child some help, and get some help for you too, because dealing with a child being a victim, the parents also will go into a blame game, which is not, the parents are not to be blamed. There's things that you can do. I understand that sometimes women and men live with people who are their lifeline, but you know what? There's agencies who will help you financially and to get you off, even if you have to go on welfare for a while. It's better to be poor and have a happy child than to have a child that forever their life may be changed. And I'm going to say this. Victims can become abusers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, that's just one thing that people need to understand. Unchecked victims can become abusers, and the cycle will not be broken. So that's something to think about. Cheryl, my love, thank you for coming on. I will send you some Facebook messages, and we'll talk about coming back on in April. And
okay.
You are wonderful. Please, before we go, tell everybody where they can find you and what you have coming up next.
You can find me. I'm on Facebook, Cheryl Roberts, S-H-E-R-Y-L-L Roberts. You can also find my fan page, Life of Hope After Abuse Foundation. You go to my website, www.hopeafterabuse.org, or you can go and just email me if you have any questions or concerns or know someone who needs help. You can email me at Cheryl, S-H-E-R-Y-L-L, at hopeafterabuse.org. And I'll be doing a lot of events in April, since that's Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
I'll be in Atlanta on the 18th doing a book signing. On the 11th of April, I'm doing a walk, Voices for Victims walk here in Houston. If you'd like to walk and you're in the Houston area, let me know. Reach out to me. And also, I'm doing a fashion show April 25th with some of my, my clothing and two other designers. So, yeah, it's a lot going on in April.
Sean, do you ever think, looking back on your life as a sex abuse victim and so many things that had happened to you, that God would have brought you this far?
Had no idea. Had no clue. And it's amazing. I mean, I say this all the time. The very thing that kept me silent for so long is not my purpose. It's not my mission. And so it's like I'm just in awe of God and what he's doing in my life and how he took me from victim into now this vessel with a voice and trying to help others overcome. So it's amazing.
Well, Cheryl, I'm going to pray us out if that's okay with you. I feel God saying we need to pray it out and pray for your day and all the things you have coming up. And this is for our listeners out there who may be struggling with this, and I just want you guys to know that you're not alone. There are places that you can call 211 in any state has it's called 211. Just dial it on your phone, and you can get referrals for being a sex abuse victim or also 311 to report sex abuse crimes in your city. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Ms. Cheryl coming on our show. We pray for her and for protection, for just grace and mercy, and for a tenfold increase in all that she does, everything she touches, and that she can see that, Lord, that what was taken from ashes is now being made into your glory, and she's a shining star for the Lord Jesus. We ask for triple blessings on her fashion show, safe passage as she walks, and for anything that she chooses to endeavor in. We ask for many people to call in to ask for Cheryl in bookstores to get her book out there and for her to be surrounded by people that support and uplift her. I pray for each and every one of my listeners. I pray for everybody today and ask that today that we can start to recognize that sex abuse is real, that we need to do more and better as a nation to curb this evil. Thank you, Lord, for this day. This is Sabrina DeVille, Sabrina Williams, signing off with Conversations with the Diva. Happy Thursday. Love you guys all. Blessings. And remember, Jeremiah 29:11, God wants nothing but to prosper you. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye, Cheryl. Well, that is Conversations with the Diva. That episode was with Cheryl Roberts. Cheryl, we were blessed today. Cheryl is a sex abuse victim survivor. She's an advocate, author, and a clothes designer. Cheryl is what we all strive to be like and never give up and allow God to see us through many journeys in life. Cheryl has a great book, My Body is Not Your Playground. She lets children know they are important, they are not at fault, and encourages them to speak up and get help. You can find Cheryl through my link on Facebook at Sabrina Williams. Follow me at Diva_2 on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter at Sabrina Williams. Yeah, I look forward to a wonderful day. Thanks again for a wonderful afternoon. Well, this is called Black Wolf, one of my featured artists that we're going to be coming on in a few weeks. Here we go.
Who is the best of them all, nigga? Who catches lies just from the words that I say and live by? Who is the one whose mind is open-minded and I can see things clearly even if it is covered by shadow of darkness? Who has the eyes of a beast? Who is the one that was born to lead people through this tough time? Who is the one that was destined to become legendary? One thing that the blind is the world's scary. One slipper you can die from a full clip. But that doesn't scare me, that makes me wary. I say my whole garment dripping like a strong fairy. And when I carry the whole world down my shoulders, I make sure that bones is, but I don't care, be. But be aware, be, that from my first breath to my last breath, I was born to be legendary. But that is contrary, think it's a fairy. Looking for clarity, while the lesson do the red light for you like a parody. And I've been there, see, feeding up bullshit and living by it like a Pharisee. Open up your eyes and see, you've been blinded, you've been screaming like a wretched bastard. You can live right on the free like.
our air on April 1st. He's an awesome young man. He's in Chicago, and we look forward to having him on. Thank you to WBDN Media, Lante Grant, for again giving me an opportunity to have conversations with the Diva. We have our Saturday social that comes up on this Saturday at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time in Chicago, which is 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here in Las Vegas. And if you happen to be in Texas or somewhere in the East Coast, that would probably be 1 p.m. You guys are a fantastic audience. We love you. Thank you again. Good morning to Next Level Tennis and Fitness and to Roy Jones Jr. Gym. Have a great day, everybody. This is Sabrina Williams signing off with Conversations with the Diva.